ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 11 चैप्टर 23 द सॉन्ग ऑफ द अवंति ब्राह्मण टेक्स्ट नंबर 41।
परिभूत इमाम घाता परिभूता इमाम घाता अगायता नरादमय अगायता नरादमय पाठयद्भि स्वधर्मस्तो पाठयद्भि स्वधर्मस्तो धृतिम् आस्थाय सात्विकीम् धृतिम् आस्थाय सात्विकीम् परिभूता इमाम् घाता अगायत नराधमै पाठयद्भि स्वधर्मस्तो धृतिम् आस्ताय सात्विकीम् परिभूता इमाम् गाता अगायत नराधमै पाठयद्भि स्वधर्मस्तो धृतिम् आस्ताय सात्विकीम् परिभूता इमाम् घाता अगायत नराधमै पाठयद्भि स्वधर्मस्तो धृतिम् आस्ताय सात्विकीम्। परिभूताय परिभूताय माम् घाता अगायत नराधमै पाठयद्भि स्वधर्मस्तो धृतिम् आस्थाय सात्विकीम् परिभूताय माम् घाता अगायत नराधमै पाठयद्भि स्वधर्मस्तो धृतिम् आस्थाय सात्विकीम्। मतजिस् परिभूता इमाम् घाता अगायत नराधमै पाठयद्भि स्वधर्मस्तो धृतिम् आस्थाय सात्विकीम् परिभूता इमाम् गाता अगायत नराधमै धर्मस्तो धृतिम् आस्थाय सात्विकीम्। परिभूत इंसल्टेड इमाम दिस गाथाम song. Agayata, he sang. Nara adamai, by low class men. Patayadbi, who are trying to make him fall down. Swadharma, in his own duty. Stha, remaining firm. Dhritim, his resolution. Asthaya, fixing. Satvikim, in the mode of goodness. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace Abhicharna Aravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami. Srila Prabhupada ki. Even while being insulted by these low class men who are trying to effect his downfall, he remained steady in his spiritual duties. Fixing his resolution in the mode of goodness, he began to chant the following song. Purport. Resolution in the mode of goodness is described in the Bhagavad Gita, 18th chapter, verse 33. Dhrityayaya dharayate mana pranendriya kriya yoganvaya vicharinya dhiti sa partha sattviki. O son of Pritha, that determination which is unbreakable, which is sustained with steadfastness by yoga practice, and thus controls the mind, life and acts of the senses, is in the mode of goodness. Atheists who are envious of the devotees of the Supreme Lord are called Naradhamas, or the lowest of the men, and undoubtedly are en route to hell. By all means at their disposal, they disturb the devotional service of the Lord, sometimes by direct attack and sometimes by mockery. The devotees, however, remain tolerant, fixing their determination in the mode of goodness, as described by Srila Rupa Goswami in Sri Upadeshamrita, verse 1. Vacho vegam manasa krodha vegam jivva vegam adaropasta vegam etan vegan yo vishahita dira sarvam apima prativimsa shishyat. A sober person who can tolerate the urges to speak, the mind's demands, the actions of anger, and the urges of tongue, belly and genitals, is called qualified to make disciples all over the world. Om Agyanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuro Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadatiswa Padantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamsha. Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Vyasha Kripa Sindhu Vyayevacha Padidanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Even while being insulted by these low class men who were trying to effect his downfall, he remained steady in his spiritual duties. Fixing his resolution in the mode of goodness, he began to chant the following song. Hare Krishna. We welcome all the devotees to our Sunday morning Srimad Bhagavatam class. And seek the blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas, especially the senior devotees, that I can speak something that is pleasing to the parampara and inspiring to all the devotees in their practice of bhakti. This particular section, which we are discussing since some time, is one of the important sections of Srimad Bhagavatam, where just before disappearing, the last words of the Supreme Lord. It's a famous theme all over the world. What were the last words that were spoken, or last discussions that the person had before he left this body? Of course, Lord Krishna doesn't leave the body because he and his body are non-different. The two illusions that all of us carry, that I am this body and God is not his body, that he is a impersonal light beyond his form. But we have to change the equation. We have to change the understanding that we are not this body, but Krishna is his body. What we see sometimes, and once in one of the courses, one devotee asked, "My son is asking, show me God." So I said, "Take him to the first floor. God is there waiting." But when we see the Lord, because we don't have proper vision, we are not able to understand. Is this the Lord? So, just before Krishna went back to the spiritual world, upon the request of the Brahma and all the Devatas, the Lord came to this planet. And then, at the during the Dwaraka Leela, once all the demons were vanquished, then the Lord again came, all the Devatas again came to convey the Lord. The job is done. And then the Lord went back. Sometimes it happens that we go into a service based on the request of a superior, but we leave from the service without the consent of the superior, or without telling the, we think, okay, I'm done, so let me leave, or I don't think I'm needed in this service, so we silently quit. But even Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastime, on the request of Advaita Acharya, the Lord came, and on the request or in consent by Advaita Acharya, that there are no more buyers of the grain, then the Lord decided to conclude his pastimes. So the Uddhava Gita, which we are discussing currently, is that final lessons or episodes that the Lord recounts from the ancient history of the whole universe, all the important episodes for us to take lessons. And this particular Gita is called as Bhikshu Gita. There are many different Gitas. The most famous is the Bhagavad Gita, which the celebration
is on December 8th. Now, December 7th is the celebration of the advent of Srimad Bhagavad Gita. And to celebrate that whole month, we will be distributing the Bhagavad Gitas to one and everyone. And we call it as the marathon, Gita marathon. And the information is already going out. Our devotees are, the book godown is preparing with all types of instruments to distribute it effectively online, and different types of advertisements and tables, and then the books obviously. But the Bhagavad Gita was spoken to Arjuna in an emergency. Arjuna was about to face a battle, and everyone, there was 18 Akshohini Sena that was waiting to for the battle to commence. This has been years of awaiting for the Pandavas to regain their kingdom, and when they were not able to regain their kingdom, then this battle started. So it was in an emergency situation. So therefore the acharyas explained the most essential principles of spiritual growth Lord Krishna gave in the Bhagavad Gita. And here in the Uddhava Gita, the Lord himself was leaving, which was also a crisis. But there was no urgency. Say, you have your own car, then you can choose to leave whenever you want. So the Lord has his own energies that will take him to the spiritual world. So there is no urgency that is there. So the Lord elaborately explains, if you think reading Bhagavad Gita is a difficult task, then when you come to Uddhava Gita in the 11th canto, you will understand that Bhagavad Gita was much easier. And about everything that we may come across, about the Varnashram, about the scientific understanding of the soul, of the universe. And here, this particular section is where Lord Krishna is explaining the effects of greed, the ill effects, the harmful effects of wealth, when it is stored or not utilized in proper service, then how does it affect? And to recount, to tell that, to convey the effects of greed, he recounts the story of Avanti Brahmana. Not just the negative side of it, that how he was totally destroyed by this power of greed, but then how he, through taking shelter of the spiritual understanding, of the spiritual knowledge, he became one of the most exalted devotees, that the Lord himself is remembering him. And as Maharaj was explaining last Saturday, that almost all sannyasis recite the verse spoken by Avanti Brahmana, Etam Saastaya Paratmanishta, that to be situated in the Supreme Lord, I am traveling, giving up all kinds of designations and all kinds of obligations or situations that I may get attached to. And so the Bhikshu Gita, which is going to start from tomorrow or day after tomorrow, this is a prelude to that, that how did the Gita, how did the Bhikshu Gita begin? Bhikshu Gita and Bhagavad Gita, both acronym is BG. And it is in great times of testing. It is not easy when somebody insults you. It is said that the body is mostly made up of water. 70% of the body is water. Therefore, it is very important for us to keep hydrated. But wherever there is injury to the body, there is a cut, what comes out? Blood comes out. Right? So although the body is fully made up of water, when there is a cut to the body, what blood comes out. But the heart is full of blood. It is a pumping machine of the blood. But when that is injured, when that is harmed, then what comes out is water, tears. When do we cry? We cry when this heart is insulted or it is broken. So therefore there is a dialogue between the eyes and the heart. And the heart is saying to the eyes that ज्यादा देखो मत, देखते हो तुम तड़पते हैं हम. When you see some object, then you start to hanker for it. And the hankering is in the heart. And most of the problems that arise, most of the miseries that arise in this world is because of when we see something, that sight creates a desire. You go to someone's house and you see, oh, they are having this wall to wall, the whole flat panel TV. And then you come to your home and you see you have a washing machine, the CRT TV. And you think, oh, my life is not good. Or you go into a movie theater and you see this hero with so many six packs or fighting or having beautiful girls around him. And then you come out, then you see you don't have a six pack, you have a family pack. And you don't have a nice amenities or luxuries that the guy in the movie is having, but you have a dilapidated home, the water is dripping from different parts, and there is rent to be paid. And then you look at your spouse, either husband or wife, and you start comparing. She doesn't look like that Smita or Chopra or whatever is shown in the movies. And then there is whole inferiority complex that is created just out of sight. And the Mahabharata also recounts this. When Ashwatthama, he was being fed because they were so poor, he was just being fed water and wheat powder, atta, which nowadays is become again the trend, which is Horlicks. Horlicks is again water and or some milk and then wheat powder. So she was feeding him energetic drink. But then when he went to his friend's house, he actually got milk. And then he started to, he saw and tasted the milk, and here he was getting. And then he was dissatisfied. Till then everything was okay. So in this world, this eyes create a lot of dissatisfaction. Therefore the heart is saying, Zyada dekho mat, dekhte ho tum, tadapte hai hum. Then there was a response from the heart to the eyes. And the eyes started to say to the heart, Zyada chaho mat, chahte ho tum, rote hai hum. That you desire so much, but when you don't get your desires fulfilled, then what comes out? Tears come out. So, insults, they are not often to the body. But when they affect the heart, although the heart is full of blood, there's great tears that come. And Srila Prabhupada explains that we all have two types of tears. Tears of joy and tears of sorrow. Tears of joy are cold and tears of sorrow are hot. So anytime if your friend seeing upon you is crying, just take a thermometer to know whether he is crying out of appreciation or he is crying out of envy. Why does he have this and I don't have. But unlike the normal situation that often happens in this world where when somebody is insulted, there is retaliation. There is that
I want to give back with interest. And the word that is said here is paribhuta. That bhuta has different meanings, and one of the meanings is insult. And we also use this word in Hindi also, bhoot gali diya hai. It means bad words. So paribhuta. And when there was paribhuta, when there was insult, the result of that insult was not retaliation, but that the result of that insult, that the Avanti Brahmana, because of his elevated consciousness which he went to, was that he started to sing a song. Imam Ghatam Agayata. Now, in normal situations we don't see this, that when there is sorrow somebody sings. But most often times in the movies we see this. When there is sorrow, then there is a movie, then there is a song that is played. One of the famous songs that was very popular, which was converted into Hare Krishna tune, was also Sun Raha Ho Kya, Ro Raha Ho Main. And that became very popular because many people could identify that, yes, I am also suffering like this person or this lady. So Avanti Brahmana, he also started to sing a song. But not a song of sorrow, that look what happened to me, or look how is this world such a bad place because I have been insulted. But Imam Ghatam Agayata, he started to sing a song in midst of those circumstances where people around him were trying to make him fall down. The verse that is used here is Patayadbi Patan. So these men, these citizens, wherever in the Avanti Desh, it is not clear whether he came across in the Avanti Desh or outside of Avanti Desh. But these citizens that were surrounding him, these people that were surrounding him, they were intentionally trying to make him fall down. Patayadbi. And why would somebody make someone else fall down? Of course, one reason was his past history. His history, as it has been recounted in the pages of Bhagavatam which we have been discussing, was that this Avanti Brahmana, before becoming such an elevated person, he was one of the greatest misers that the city knew. He was so miserly that he didn't even spend his money on himself or his family. Even his family was fed up with his miserliness. In Hindi we call kanjus. Or if somebody is even greatly miser, we call makkichus. That even if there is a mosquito or a fly around him, he will see how can I extract something from this. And because he was not helping people and he was exploiting others to make wealth, so he created many enemies. And in the later sections of his recounting of his history, he himself explains that because of my greed for wealth, although I accumulated a lot of money, but more than money, I made a lot of enemies. Enemy and money, they go together. As soon as somebody has, then there are others that become envious and want to have. And it is a rightful responsibility of every individual that has any wealth to distribute it among the citizens, among the people. And he explains five individuals to whom he should distribute his wealth. Deva, it is to the devatas through doing yajnas. Rishis, to the brahmanas, to the sages, to distribute the spiritual knowledge. Like we have the Gita Dan, a scheme that as part of the Gita Marathon, where you contribute some of your wealth so that we can go out and give this Bhagavad Gita knowledge books to villages or schools that don't have that much money. To the rishis or for the upkeep of the sages or the ashramas, the wealthy people, those who have wealth, are supposed to support it. And then to the family, to one's family, and to one's parents. And there was one category which was a bit surprising to me. It says to one's in-laws. Now, usually in modern Indian context, usually it is thought that the son-in-law is supposed to get wealth from the other side. It is only a lena bank. But here in this verse, he says that one is supposed to distribute one's wealth with one's in-laws. And any time that is seemingly be done, then there is great criticism that he is sharing his wealth. But that is also one category that he himself explains, that one should distribute one's wealth to both sides of the family, husband's side and wife's side. And because of that lack of helping nature of this Brahmana, although he was very wealthy, he became hateful by everybody else, that everybody was hitting him. And now that he doesn't have any wealth, by the providence, by thieves, by the government, he explains different ways how he lost all his wealth. And once he didn't have any wealth, then everybody started to insult him. Of course, in that great crisis, Avanti Brahmana, he took sannyas. Not to escape the situation, but understanding the different nature of this world. How hard did he work to create this much wealth? There is a verse in which he describes there are 6 stages of wealth, and how all these 6 stages are filled with 4 types of experiences. Arte sadhane siddhe. That in the pursuit of wealth, first is sadhana. Sadhana means working hard. And there is so much ayasa, there is so much endeavor that is involved to earn wealth. Siddhe, to get the paycheck. After you work hard also, there is no guarantee that the employer will pay you properly. So to realize that money, also there is great anxiety. He says, ayasa, chinta, there is great anxiety that is created, stress that is created. Then, utkarshe, one just doesn't want to earn the wealth, but everybody wants to increase one's wealth. The whole share market is about how one can increase one's wealth. So, utkarshe. So even there is so much endeavor and anxiety. How can I, where can I invest? Which is the best bonds? Which place is the best place where I can invest? Then rakshane. Rakshane is, how can I protect my wealth? There are thieves that are having eyes. There are near and dear ones, relatives that are having an eye. How can I protect? When I went to Dallas, there, I was told that the thieves there from Mexico, they get to know in whose house how much wealth is there, because they have a machine that is a gold detector. And they just have that machine and they just pass in the streets of Texas. And anybody that is in 1 mile radius with a gold in their house, this machine detects. And then they start to specifically watch these houses. And very soon they attack and then they rob the wealth. And there are burglars. There is, we all have security passwords, one time password, OTP, and then two time verification, so much endeavor to protect Rakshane. And then the Brahmana, Avanti Brahmana also says, not just in Rakshane, but Vyaye, even in spending there is anxiety. Where to spend? Like nowadays, if you go to any online website or any mall, for one type of, for what you want, there are 100 categories that are available, 100 products. Even if you just want a toothpaste, you will have 20 varieties. And you may get confused. And they call this as the choice dilemma. That there's so many choices to be made that the person ends up either making no choice that I don't want, or they make a choice but they are always worried, did I make the right choice? And in small things there is so much fatigue that is created. They call this as decision fatigue. For small things in life you have to make so much anxiety. Like if you want to wear something, you go into your wardrobe and there are hundreds of clothes. And you are in anxiety. Which one to wear? Which is the right one for this moment? Of course, brahmacharis avoid that to great extent. But then even brahmacharis have sometimes anxiety, because even in saffron cloth, there are different types of saffron cloth. There is a khadi, there is a cotton, there is a jute, there is a dark saffron, there is a light saffron, there is half shirt, full shirt. So compared to maybe others, there may be less anxiety, but the same kind of experience is there. In spending money also there is anxiety. So in this way, the Brahmana, he says, ultimately there is great delusion in all of these endeavors, that it is wealth or money that make one happy. And Jim Carrey says that, I wish everybody can be wealthy, so that people know that that's not the answer to life's problems. That money cannot solve all the problems. There's a nice poem that says, money can buy you food, but cannot buy you appetite. Money can buy you a bed, but it cannot buy you sleep. Money can buy you book, but it can't get you knowledge. It's a big poem that we usually quote in the Gita course. But the whole endeavor, it's not that it is not an important energy to develop in our life. But then when the whole endeavor is focused on this, then it creates anxiety. And that's the nature of this world. That in this world there are different things that we have to pay attention to. But anything, either if you pay less attention or attention more than that is required, becomes a big energy vampire, where you just get drained in that, whether it may be relationship or whether it may be finances or it may be knowledge. Everything becomes a burden rather than being an asset. So here the Brahmana, people were, because of their envy, because of their hate, and some just because out of seeing, dekhte hain, that how strong he is. There is usual sometimes this tendency comes that somebody is trying to grow, and you take great pleasure in not trying to follow him, but trying to pull him down. When they go to the sea to catch prey, all these different. So when it comes to crabs. When it comes to crabs, they don't close the lid. They don't have lids for the crab utensils, because the mentality of the crab is, as soon as one crab tries to come up, all the other crabs, they pull him down. That, where are you going? Be with us. You cannot go to a higher place than us. Of course, if everyone follows the first crab, then everyone will be out of this imprisonment. But because of that envy, which the crab represents, nobody is allowed to go up. And so similarly here, the Bhagavatam explains that they were trying to make him fall down. And Bhagavatam explains them as Naradhamai. The lowest of class of men were trying to make this Brahmana fall down from his duties. And we have enough episodes in the Bhagavatam where somebody tries to spiritually grow and there is somebody who becomes insecure and tries to make him fall down. Classic example for this is Indra. Whenever there is a rishi that is sitting in the forest trying to meditate, as soon as the meditation crosses some ears, then there is a CCTV camera that is kept on this rishi. And there is a timer that is started. And Indra, if he crosses 100 years, 200 years, then he becomes more and more insecure. And then, you know, in the story of Vishwamitra, he sends this apsaras, these temptations in the form of ladies to disturb him. And obviously, first time he gets tempted just by the nupur, just by the tinkling of the ankle bells. It was so musical, the tinkling of the ankle bells of Urvashi, that he opens his eyes. Ki dekhta hu main, kya hai? Aur, jaise dekh liya, phas gaye. So the curiosity, many times, even with advertisements it happens, we are passing through, there is something that is there, but there is a great curiosity that is aroused in us. Arre, theek se dekha nahi main. I have not seen that advertisement properly. Let me watch it more. Or I have not seen this particular girl or boy properly. If the same curiosity we had on when we look at the Lord, we'll greatly benefit. But with material temptations, often Maya proposes with that you need to know how that person or how that object is. You need to have an experience. So Vishwamitra Muni, out of the effect of lust, he fell down. Patayadvi. Next time, he was more careful. He was... So again, the music started. The Swarga Savan. There is a music channel called Savan. So, the Savan started. The tinkling of the ankle bells. And then this time, he was more determined. That I will not fall into the prey of lust. But he fell into the prey of anger. So he opened his eyes with great anger and he cursed this apsara that why are you trying to disturb me? But when he tried to go back to his meditation, he realized that again his meditation account is again zero. Because either it be anger or lust, both disturbed him from his spiritual absorption. But unlike that, Haridas Thakur, which we often mention, was undisturbed because he neither was desirous of that object, nor was he hateful of that object. Maya often traps us with these two things. Either we get trapped in Ichha, we like something, or we get trapped in dvesha, in dislike. And that dislike becomes so much, the Prabhupada often explains that if somebody hating something, if he dies, he takes birth as what he hated. And if he takes birth liking something, he takes birth as... So either Ichha or Dvesh, whatever is the absorption, whatever is the meditation at the time of death, that's what you get. That's where you go. So Naradhamai, one understanding is that it is a mentality of those that pull down others are lowest of class of men. But another is if you don't help others to grow in their spiritual advancement, in their growth, or if you try to pull down others, you will be categorized as not Narottam, but Naradhama, as lowest of class of men. But when you help others to grow in their spiritual life, in their life, that is one of the meanings that Srila Prabhupada gives to Ahimsa. The meaning that Prabhupada gives in the 13th chapter is, where you don't impede one's advancement, material or spiritual, that is Ahimsa. And by killing grossly, you obviously are stopping that person's growth, or by affecting one's emotions, either by insults or by abuses, you are affecting his emotional or spiritual growth. But in spite of people surrounding him, willfully trying to make him fall down. Now, usually when somebody has gone through such a situation of great greed, there will be people that will make you fall down. But many a times, this is in the consciousness of the person who is living life. He thinks that the world is a very hostile place, where everybody around me is trying to drag me down. It's not like that. One of the things that is said about public speaking is that when you go in front of the audience, don't think that your audience is there going to see how you are going to make faults. They are not with a shooting gun trying to catch your mistakes and pull down. They are actually eager listeners trying to advance themselves. And in the third chapter of the Bhagavatam, Suta Goswami, when he starts to speak to the audience, he requests blessings. Bhadram Vo, that I need blessings so that all of you become not somebody who is pulling me down, but somebody who wishes well for me. So many times this is in our mind, that people around me are after me, that they are not liking me. And Prabhupada explains that one who is lusty, he thinks everyone is lusty. One who is greedy, he thinks others are greedy. Atmavan manyate jagat. So although here in this case, Bhagavatam explained, there were intentionally people that were trying to make him fall down. But in most of our cases, not everybody is envious around us. But we make the whole narrative in our mind, but that is not so helpful for our growth. And how did he come out of these insults and these accusations that were being thrown upon him? Swadharmasto, being situated in his swadharma, in his constitutional position, fixed in his duties. Now swadharma is two understandings. Swa means self. Now we have two selves. One is the external self, or the temporary self, which is the body and the mind. And another is the eternal self, the soul. So swadharma refers to both being fixed in one's eternal position and also being fixed in one's nature. One of the great reasons why there is people are against me, or there is negativity, is when you are not fixed in your nature, when you are not doing things as per your psychophysical behavior, then there is great restlessness or dissatisfaction. And anybody outside one, people, you start to perceive that they are trying to judge me. But if you are situated and you are getting happiness or pleasure from the activity itself, there is no need of validation from others. Is somebody insulting me or is somebody against me? I tell the story of Bhima. Bhima, he was always very famous, being a warrior. He was always in page 3. But only during war times. During peace times, no need of muscles. So no one used to much call him much. But against that, he saw his brother Arjuna, he was always in limelight. Because often when you get a taste of limelight or fame, it is very difficult to live without that fame. One of the biggest addictions is addiction to fame. And one of the devotees who is in Los Angeles, who interacts with all these famous Hollywood personalities, is saying that the fame of any of these actors is at the peak for maximum 5 or 10 years. And they get such a addiction to that, such a taste for that, that after that when their fame starts to dwindle, they can't take it. They start to pay money, they start to do all types of gimmicks or strategies. How can I remain famous? And it becomes sometimes obscene or very illegal means by which they try to keep up their beauty or keep up their fame that is acquired. So Arjuna was always in limelight because Arjuna was not just a great warrior, but also he was a great singer, a great dancer, a great musician. So when there is peace time, there is festivals, or in today's words, parties. So Arjuna was always called as the main performer in all the parties or the festivals that was to happen in Hastinapur. And Bhima thought, of course Bhima is not like a conditioned soul who gets addicted to fame, but he thought it will be nice to always be in limelight in the headlines. So he thought, let me also learn singing. If I can roar, I can sing. So he started to sing, he learned singing. But God doesn't gift everyone with everything. Some of us have some faculties, someone else has some other faculties. So Bhima didn't have a very sweet voice. So when he was practicing his instruments or his things, I remember after first time coming in touch with devotees in IIT Bombay, I picked up kartal. I bought a pair of kartal, and in my semester holidays, I went home and the whole month, all I was doing was trying to play kartal, which I wasn't just learning. This was in 99. And I remember my whole family was so upset. Go to the terrace and practice your kartal or whatever. But who will tell Bhima? Because Bhima is a powerful person. In West, when I have to introduce Pandavas, I introduce Pandavas as the Vedic version of Avengers. And Bhima is the Hulk. Those of you know Avengers series or Hulk. Powerful person. So who will tell Bhima or the Hulk that kindly don't sing? He may just give you a punch and you will be gone. But Pandavas, having trust in Bhima's nobility, they went and told him that, can you practice somewhere else in silence, in seclusion? That's a repeated announcement that we keep making in the Brahmacharya ashram also. Some devotee starts to practice mridanga or harmonium or a kartal, and then somebody is sleeping around nearby, and they say, go to some place. Usually nowadays it is Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Hall, which is downstairs. So go there and practice. Don't practice here. So Bhima understood, yes, I am disturbing others, so let me go to a forest and start practicing, start learning. And as he was singing in great absorption and great taste, somehow each one of us may think that my voice is very good. Especially when we are hearing somebody singing, some great singer sing, say Lata Mangeshkar or somebody, Sonu Nigam, they are singing and we are keeping earphones in our ears and we are also singing along with them. Those times we start to think, I am singing as good as Sonu Nigam. But others around us will say, can you please stop singing? So Bhima was enjoying his song. And then he saw some audience was coming around and there was hustle and bustle. And when he opened his eyes, there was a pack of donkeys that had surrounded. So when he saw this donkey surrounding his music show, he became very disappointed. That I am not good in this. This is an insult. But then instead of thinking this is insulting or I will try to do, he focused on what he can do. What he is good at. And he understood that I may not be able to sing in a club, but there is another attractive thing that is very important in any festival or parties. That is the kitchen, the food. Now honestly, how many of you go to marriages or parties, festivals, based on the menu that is there? The most important thing in any marriage is the menu that is there. So he thought that I may not be a great singer, but with my muscle power, I can be still be in the limelight. Because when you cook something very delicious, like yesterday in the Ekadashi, there was some new item that was made. And many devotees were appreciating. Oh, so well made. So the cook becomes very important. In fact, he is the most important person in any festival. So Bhima started to cook for this festivals, for this. And then he again came to in the limelight, but being fixed in what he can do, not what he can't do. But unlike that, we see Dhritarashtra, he was so fixated upon, no, I want to become the king. Although I am disqualified, I want to prove to the world that I can do. When there is this great obsession about proving to the world, rather than focusing on what are the gifts that you have been given to you. And once you start to experience, they call this job satisfaction or self-satisfaction. If somebody insults you or somebody says this or that, you're not worried because you're focusing on your own growth. Rather, there is a great contentment that you feel when you follow that nature that has been given. But still, that is not eternal. No matter how much somebody may like some skill that he has or gets fulfillment from that skill will not be always be there. Sachin Tendulkar, such a great batsman, but because of his age, he cannot play. He may still get great relish in playing, but age factor or the situation factor may hinder us from fully absorbing in the things that we do. So therefore, the best is, along with our best effort to try to fix in our nature that has been bestowed upon us, the Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, or Brahmachari, Grahastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyas, the eternal nature of the soul is to serve. And being fixed in that eternal nature of the soul, when one receives great satisfaction because of serving the lotus feet of the Lord, then one is not worried or bothered by the insults that people do or by the praises that others do. Either praise or insult, one doesn't take them too seriously. Because somebody who will take you up will also take you down. But when somebody is fixed at the lotus feet of the Lord, then that taste that one gets makes one insulated from all the disturbances that anyway may come in this world. And the last line of this verse, we're just going through the words of this verse. After this, I have five more sections. If I get time, I'll cover. Dhritim astaya sattvikim. How did he fix in his Swadharma, in his Sanatana, in his eternal position as the servant of the Lord, as a devotee of the Lord? It requires great determination. Spiritual life cannot be practiced if one is not determined. Srila Prabhupada often, when he was asked that, what if I am not able to, if I take initiation, but I am not able to follow the regulative principles, the principles that I have been given? And Prabhupada said, One should be determined, because determination is the beginning of human life. The main difference between animal life and human life is the faculty of determination. If a human being is determined for something, no matter what happens, he tries to achieve this. But Krishna explains that this determination can be in three modes. The highest which this Avanti Brahmana explains was practicing Sattvika determination, the determination in the mode of goodness. But the Lord explains that the determination in the mode of goodness is unbreakable, and it is sustained with steadfastness by yoga practice. He also ensures that, yes, I just don't want to be determined, no, I want to study. But he also ensures that his body and mind are capable for him to do that service. So he practices the yoga system, or he ensures that the body is, it's not just a mental drive that he carries. Then he controls the activities of the mind, he just doesn't listen to the whims of the mind. And he keeps the senses and the mind under control. So it's not just a impulsive determination that he has. That is the mode of goodness. But Krishna explains, but that determination by which one holds fast to fruitive results in religion, economic development, sense gratification, when one's determination is for artha kama, for wealth and for sense gratification, we see everybody that is almost traveling in the local trains every day with great determination. But often that determination is not in the highest of levels, it is rajasic. Because that determination, and that same person, if you ask, can you come to the Sunday and sit in, just sit here and take prasadam? He says, I'm too tired. But same Sunday, if he is given overpay, overtime, then he'll run to the office. Once a man, he was very sick. So he came to his wife and said that, I think I should go and meet the doctor. So the wife said, yes, you should go and meet the doctor, but don't meet a normal doctor, go and meet a veterinary doctor. So the husband asked, why a veterinary doctor? Why an animal doctor? He said, I don't see your life being lived as a human being. You wake up very early like a cock, and then you run to the office like a dog, and then you change jobs like a monkey, and then you're carrying loads of work, so much burden, like a donkey, and then when you come home, you're sleeping like a buffalo. So where is your human life? It's just filled with so much animalistic instincts. So, but there is great determination that is also exhibited, which is appreciative of the determination. But then, because it is just for economic development and sense gratification, it is termed in the mode of passion. And the last, the determination in the mode of ignorance is determination that which cannot go beyond dreaming. Daydreamer never gives up the dream, but never wakes up to act on the dream. So, which cannot go beyond dreaming, fearfulness. Say sometimes students, so much fear of exam, but that determination doesn't go beyond the fear. If you keep fearing, what will happen? Nothing will happen. You'll fail. What you are fearing will come true. But determination in that doesn't go beyond dreaming, fearfulness, lamentation, that you are just lamenting. Oh, I lost that money, I lost that, I couldn't go to the temple, I couldn't do. But nothing beyond that. The lamentation is with full of determination, but there is no action that is done. Moroseness and illusion, such unintelligent determination is in the mode of darkness. So there are three types of determination, and here Avanti Brahmana is showing us that he is Paratmanista, that for growing in spiritual life, for reaching the lotus feet of the Lord, he is exhibiting this great determination and not being affected by all the insults that are coming. And Srila Prabhupada, he explains that any sadhaka, any devotee that tries to grow in spiritual life without cultivating titikshava karunika suruda sarvadehina, the tolerance is titiksha, being tolerant of others or situations that come, one cannot grow. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Shikshashtaka, in the verse, the third verse, Trinadapi Sunichena, Taro Rivasahishuna, Amanina Manadena, Kirtaniya Sadahari. He also mentions about this quality of tolerance, Sahishnuna. And he says, more humility, more than a grass, and tolerance like that of a tree, one should cultivate. And not expecting, and where does this come out? These two qualities, it's not that you go in front of the grass and try to become lower than the grass. Or it's not that you go to the tree and try to compete with the tree or try to become equal to the tree. It manifests in your dealings. These two qualities, humility and tolerance, manifest in the third line of the verse. Amanina manadina. Not expecting any respect and offering all respect to others. And in such a state of mind or consciousness, kirtaniya sadahari, that one can continuously or constantly chant, because you are not bothered by all the external stimulations of envy, greed, lust, anger. So there is no contact with the external world in this sense. And then you can peacefully connect with the Lord and take great pleasure in chanting His holy names. There is a story of Shivaji Maharaj. The Shivaji Maharaj, once he had gone to a forest. And as he was going in the forest, different places, there was a mother in that forest who was also roaming in that forest trying to collect some food for her children. And usually, what do? When you try to collect fruits from a tree, use stones. I remember in my childhood, we were throwing stones at a tree, trying to get fruits from the tree. So somebody else's stone fell on my head and there was a huge blood flow that started. So since then I stopped throwing stones at the tree, knowing that somebody else will throw at me also. So this lady, she was throwing she had a stick, a lathi, and she threw to cut some mangoes. There were mangoes high on the tree. So she threw this stick to get some mangoes. But somehow that time, Shivaji Maharaj was passing through that place. And instead of cutting the mangoes, the stick just hit a branch, and it came and hit Shivaji Maharaj. And his turban fell down. Now for Kshatriyas, removing a turban is a great insult. Therefore, often we see in Mahabharata, when Virat Parva, when Arjuna and Uttar Kumar went to fight, her sister, what is her name? Uttara. Uttara, she asked that, get me everyone's turban. And removing the turban was as good as death. So if somebody removes turban in the Vedic situation, it is a great act of humility, great act of surrender. So this lady's stick removed the turban of Shivaji Maharaj. So everybody, all the sena of Shivaji Maharaj became very upset, angry. And they came immediately to punish her. That how dare you throw a stick at... Because they didn't know she was trying to get mangoes or what. But Shivaji, He said, I'm busy today. I don't have time to understand this case. Bring her to the courtroom tomorrow. To the palace tomorrow. So next day she was brought. And he wanted to hear her side of the story. Many times when you make judgment, if you hear only one side, what was the perception? That the stick was thrown on Shivaji Maharaj. But there is always a story. So he asked, why did you throw stick at me? So first of all, she begged apology, forgiveness. And she said, I didn't throw stick at you. I was just getting some mangoes for my children. And I threw at the tree. But somehow my aim was not good. Instead of bringing me mangoes, now it has brought me death. Now I'm going to suffer because of this great crime that I've done. So Shivaji Maharaj, he started to contemplate. Okay. If you throw a stick at a tree, it will give you mangoes. But if you throw a stick at me, if I give death, then is the stick greater or Shivaji greater? If the tree, which is immobile, which doesn't have much faculties, can give you fruits when somebody throws a stick at you, at it, how much greater should I give you when the stick is thrown at me? So contemplating like this, he didn't punish this lady. He rewarded this lady with 10,000 rupees. And he gave her a land and said, you go and cultivate and you feed your children. Now this is the nature of somebody who is more tolerant than a tree, or who understands that if a tree gives fruits when it is insulted, when it is harmed, can't I live at least that much like a tree, if not better? Therefore, in this verse, Trinadapi Sunichena, Taro Riva Sahishnuna. Sometimes, in some of the places, it is taror api sahishnuna. Even more tolerant than a tree. If we can at least come up to the tolerance level of a tree, we'll be greatly elevated. But what to speak of more tolerant than a tree? So, a devotee is often appreciated by this quality of tolerance. In spite of all types of abuses or insults, he doesn't retaliate. And the whole Srimad Bhagavatam, if you see, it is filled with people getting affected, transformed, when they try to abuse a devotee or a saintly person, they don't retaliate. When Chitraketu Maharaj was cursed by Parvati, Chitraketu Maharaj, he was blissfully accepting this curse that she had put, that you will become a demon. And that time, Shiva starts to glorify that. Look at the nature of a devotee. Narayana paras sarve na kutaschana vibhyate swarga varga nargeshu. That whether he be put in hell or he be put in heaven, a devotee that is dedicated to Narayan is undisturbed. Same Parikshit Maharaj, when he was cursed, he didn't retaliate. It's not that he didn't have the power to counter curse the Shringi or the Shamik Rishi. And Acharya has explained that he could have at least gone to Shamik Rishi and try to resolve the matter. And okay, let the thing be taken back. But he was feeling so much remorse at the offense that he did to put a snake, dead snake around him, and the remorse that the king will, that the Shamik Rishi will feel when I go to beg forgiveness, just to not feel the other devotee feel bad about himself, let me suffer. That was the extent of Parikshit Maharaj's tolerance. And even here, the same. And same with Ambarish Maharaj. And Ambarish Maharaj was the Rakshasa that was sent by Durvasa Muni. When it was attacking, Ambarish was totally undisturbed because of his dhritimastaya satvami, because of his fixed determination. And today is also the disappearance of Saranga Thakur. And there is an important connection that Saranga Thakur, in his Krishna Leela, he is Nandimukhi. Nandimukhi is the daughter, is the granddaughter of Paurnamasi. Paurnamasi is one of the great grandmothers of Vrindavan that arranges all the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. And Paurnamasi and Nandimukhi are from Avanti Desh. They were living in the kingdom of in this Avantipura, but Paurnamasi was a great disciple of Narad Muni. And Narad Muni instructed her, go to Vrindavan and assist in the pastimes of Lord Krishna and Srimati Radharani. And upon her request, Nandimukhi and Sandipani Paurnamasi and Paurnamasi's grandson Madhumangal, we all know Madhumangal. So Madhumangal's sister is Nandimukhi. And Nandimukhi in Chaitanya Leela, she became Saranga Thakur. And Saranga Thakur used to live in this island called as Modadruma Dweep in Navadweep, in the nine islands of Navadweep. He was staying there and he was a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Every day after his responsibilities and his service to his deities Radha Gopinath, he used to go and participate in the night Sankirtan pastimes, cross the Ganga and participate in the night Sankirtan pastimes. And one day when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to meet Saranga Thakur, and he saw that the deities were just under a tree, Radha Gopinath, and he was serving them, not even a tree, just some place, and there was great sun, huge sunlight that was coming, scorching sun. So Mahaprabhu, immediately he planted a bakul, just like in Harina, for Haridas Thakur in Jagannath Puri, a bakul, and immediately a tree came out there. The tree still exists, although it is fully hollow inside, the tree still exists. So Saranga Thakur didn't worry about his bodily convenience or inconvenience. He was just absorbed in serving his deities. And the most famous episode of pastime of Saranga Thakur comes about his giving Diksha. Mahaprabhu is to constantly ask him that, why didn't you initiate few devotees? You are so elevated, so absorbed. So pass on this legacy. Make some of your disciples. But he was so humble, he never wanted to accept anybody as his disciple. But after long behest and request of his father, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he agreed. And he said, tomorrow the first person that I will meet, I will initiate him. And next morning when he went to take bath and chant the holy names in the bank of Ganga, as he was taking bath, there was a dead body that touched him. So, and he remembered this promise that he gave to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that the first person that I'll see, he didn't say living person or dead person. So he immediately chanted the Krishna mantra in the ears of this dead person. And immediately this dead body came back to life. And this was a young boy in another village who was going for Upanayana Samskar, for getting the sacred thread to start study and accept a spiritual master. But he was bitten by a snake. And there was no cure, and when he died, one of the traditions that existed, those who stayed near Ganga, was to Ganga Samarpan. Because Ganga is the holy water of Lord Krishna. So you just place the dead body in Mother Ganga instead of burying them. So that's how the dead body flowing, it came to Saranga Thakur. And his name was Murari. And as soon as Murari became alive, He understood that it is because by the grace of my spiritual master that I came back to life. He requested him, please accept me as a disciple and I want to serve you. So he accepted because that was the promise that he gave to Mahaprabhu. And as he was serving, very soon, within 1 or 2 days, his parents in the other village got to know Murari has come back to life. So immediately they all ran and came to Saranga Thakur and Murari and said, oh Murari, you have come back to life. We are so morose that you are dead. Now please come back. We will take care of you nicely. And Murari, of course, just like when somebody joins the ashram, the authorities or the leaders don't stop them. Don't go. It is up to the individual what he wants to do. So Saranga Thakur said, it is up to Murari, whatever he wants to do. And then Murari said, my life ended by that snake bite and there was nothing that you could have done. Like Prahlad Maharaj explains in that verse, prayers to Lord Narasimha, Balasya Neha Sharanam Pitarau Narasimha. That, oh Lord, in this world, many parents want to take care of their children very nicely. But if the child has some disease or he dies, how can the parents take care? Because that is beyond their control. A boatman, a captain on a ship, he wants to take everybody across the ocean or the river. But does he have full control? He doesn't have. So therefore, tvadapekshitana, one who is neglected or one who neglects you, where is protection in this world? Either it be in terms of a captain or in terms of a well-wisher or a relative. So Murari said, now I have got a new life. And that life has been bestowed by my spiritual master. And I owe my life to my guru. And therefore I will stay here and serve my spiritual master. And this story is often quoted. This is the mood in one with one somebody takes the shelter of a guru or initiation, that the serpent of death is going to bite us any time, now or later. And that's how the relationship is going to end. But the life that the guru, the spiritual master gives by connecting it with the Krishna, that is eternal. So therefore my most important priority and duty is to serve the guru and assist in his mission. So this is the story of Saranga Thakur. And we very much remember and pray to him this day that we can also imbibe that mood that his disciple had, Murari, in serving his spiritual master and being fixed in one's duties and one's responsibilities in one's growth towards the spiritual world. And with this, I'll stop. So thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki.